The Grizzlies are about to play a matchup against one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, but that's not the big storyline heading into this next game. The big storyline is the return of the one familiar face, De'Anthony Melton.
You said his name, DeMichael.
I said his name. They're going to get me, aren't they? They're going to get me. So we're going to talk about that. De'Anthony Melton, Grizzlies, Joel Embiid. Is he playing against the Grizzlies? He hasn't played against the Grizzlies since I was in college. So we're going to talk about all that right here, right now, coming up on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I'm your co-host, DeMichael Cole, joined by the one and only Joe Mullinax, who has decided to get back in the writing field as well. He has his contract that he just created out there. Joe, how you doing, man?
Written in the Dark, which I don't know if I like that name or not, but I thought on it for a minute. And, you know, if you read the Substack, Joe Mullinax Substack, that's where you can find it. Thank you for shouting it out, DeMichael. I appreciate that. You know, I was just ready to get back into writing about the Grizzlies in addition to the work that we do here on Locked On. I want to stress that DeMichael is wonderful. I mean, just look at him if you're on YouTube. Just look at that face. And if you're just listening, you can just get the vibe of just how wonderful DeMichael is. And I'm being genuine. I think sometimes people think I'm messing with DeMichael. I thoroughly enjoy working with DeMichael. I just miss typing and writing about the Grizzlies. So there's a free option. There's a paid option. You know, I'm going to make a donation every month to a Memphis charity. It's not really about the money for me. It's just about writing about this team again and trying to be close to as good as DeMichael. So thanks to shouting it out, DeMichael. I appreciate that.
Of course. No problem. But if you're familiar with Joe's work at Grizzly Bear Blues, then you know how well his work is. So this is a win for the Grizzlies fans out there. So make sure you check out his content as well. But thank you again for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. And remember, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before, because BetOnline is where the game starts. Make sure you continue to check out Locked On Grizzlies everywhere you listen and watch podcasts. That's Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We're everywhere, just like the air. So make sure you go check that out. Anytime you check out a podcast, 9 times out of 10, Locked On Grizzlies is available in that same space. So once again, we appreciate you for tuning in. We appreciate the comments. We appreciate the reviews. We check them all out. We input all of those things into our show just to make this content better for you going forward with each episode. But the Grizzlies wanted to make their team better going forward, right, Joe? And the 76ers did too. So it was one of those, we're talking about one of those trades where both teams feel like, okay, we got the better end of the stick in this one. And we have, you know, I think 22 Sixers games up to this point, and you have 21 Grizzlies games up to this point in the season to kind of determine the trade that I'm reflecting on here. And that's the De'Anthony Melton when he was traded in the offseason.
You keep saying his name, and people are just going to lose their minds, DeMichael. You're bringing that energy to our show.
They're gonna lose their minds, right, Joe? But he was good, man. I know they say, oh, the playoffs this and the playoffs that, but we're gonna get into it. But De'Anthony Melton traded from the Grizzlies after three terrific seasons for him, but clearly it's, you know, it's to each his own. Three seasons in Memphis for De'Anthony Melton. And in return, the Grizzlies got Danny Green, who's out with an injury right now, and a first round pick that turned into David Roddy, who has played rotation minutes for this team today. And now this all leads to my question for you, Joe. We've seen 22 Sixers games. We've seen 21 Grizzlies games. Of course, you know, the Grizzlies, it looked like they're playing the longer game with this trade, whereas the Sixers are in the more win now approach. But who do you think has the upper hand? Just what is your overall evaluation of this trade after we've seen, you know, a quarter of the season?
I think you hit the nail on the head. It wasn't about the here and now for the Grizzlies. And as we've talked about on multiple episodes of the show, and we'll continue to talk about, until the front office makes a trade that is about the here and now, they're not about the here and now. The coaches want to win. The players want to win. I'm not saying they don't want to. The front office, in my opinion, outside of, yay, go Grizzlies, like they could care less. They are not going in to sacrifice anything for the future to make this team now as good as they possibly can be. And there's plenty of logical arguments for that, right? Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., still outside of their primes. If you consider the prime of someone's career, their mid-20s or so, mid to late 20s, their athletic peak. You know, Jaren and Ja and Bane are all 3 to 4 years, give or take, away from that. So they are not going to make a decision that is going to inhibit them from doing any future business right now. And again, I think you make arguments that's the right call. The Melton trade is a good example of that, and here's why. The Grizzlies were not going to be able to pay Melton what he is going to make on his next contract and be able to potentially max out Desmond Bane and give Ja his money and pay Brandon Clark and Steven Adams. Those things could not all happen at the same time. In theory, they could, but for all this talk of Robert Parra paying the luxury tax, last time I checked, they're still in Memphis, Tennessee, which is a place that I love. I know it's your home, DeMichael, so I say this with love. It's not a big market. So he might do the luxury tax like one time. I could see that. He ain't going to be a repeater payer in Memphis. It's different than in San Francisco with the Golden State Warriors. We don't have to go into the economics of it all. It's just different. So he's not going to be interested in doing that because it's not as economically viable in Memphis as it is in a larger market. All right. They can't pay everybody. And they found the best deal to get themselves a contributor on a rookie contract over the next several seasons, plus an expiring, to get something out of a guy that they gave up essentially nothing for. That context matters, right? Like it was Kyle Korver's contract, I believe, in exchange for them taking on Josh Jackson, right? Who spent a lot of time in the G League for Memphis, and that's a separate conversation. But Melton was brought in basically for nothing, or very limited, you know, something, maybe is the best way to put that. When that trade happened, the draft picks that were exchanged were the stars. But Melton made himself a better basketball player. He thrived in the Grizzlies' defensive system. And I think he got so good, similar to Grayson Allen, that Memphis was not going to be able to pay him what he's going to command. He's going to make more than his current, I believe it's $8 million right now, something around there. He's going to make more than that on his next contract. And if he makes $12 million a year, are you picking Melton or are you picking Steven Adams? You know, and that's essentially what it comes down to, is those role players, you can't give them all those $12 million-ish deals and pay your core guys what it takes to keep them around. Melton was a victim of that. They made a choice and Melton was not part of their future. Was it right? When it comes to the Grizzlies, we're going to have to measure that out in a couple of years, right? It's not something in the here and now we can really talk about. For Philly, it was absolutely right. Melton, in several ways, is having a career season. He is the absolute best combo guard in the National Basketball Association when it comes to steals. He is the best. There is no one better than him right now. And that is something that the Grizzlies, as we've discussed, have tailed off on a little bit. So in the here and now, Philly probably won the trade, but that's not what this was about for the Grizzlies. And we won't know if it was a win for Memphis until 2 or 3 years down the road.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. You know, the Grizzlies, it was more the long-term outlook here. And with the Sixers, it was the short-term thing. And that's what we're seeing, right? Because in the short term, the Grizzlies bench is struggling, you know, with David Roddy in the lineup. And the Sixers have been very fortunate with James Harden going down. He won't be available for this game, by the way, but he's close to get back. So the Grizzlies probably dodged one right there. But no James Harden, and I believe no Tyrese Maxey as well. So Grizzlies kind of dodged a couple guys, but Sixers have been fortunate to have De'Anthony Melton step in. I think I posted it on Twitter one time. You know, as a lot of you may know, I worked at the Philadelphia Inquirer for 2.5 years before coming to Memphis about a year ago, you know, around this time. And a lot of the Philly fans and stuff still reach out to me, and one of them shot me a text earlier this evening during one of Melton's games and said, tell the Grizzlies that we're thankful. I think it was around Thanksgiving, actually, that we're thankful for De'Anthony Melton. So, you know, there's that as well. But, you know, a nice little give and take there. Right now, you know, you can make your argument for both ways, depending on how you're looking at it from an outlook perspective. But it's going to be fun overall just to see De'Anthony Melton back in Memphis, I think just from an energy standpoint, right? This is a guy who I would say was the closest player on the team to Ja Morant. Just from, you know, being around those guys and seeing them interact with each other, you know, as most people know, I've written about like NBA Youngboy and things like that, you know, how they gravitate towards music. And those two players, you know, Ja Morant and De'Anthony Melton are probably the biggest two NBA Youngboy fans from last season's team. So two guys that really gravitate towards each other. But overall, De'Anthony Melton back in Memphis is going to be fun. Can't wait to see the ovation that he gets. We saw the one that Kyle Anderson got. So we'll be kind of cool to see that.
And I'm hopeful that Melton gets the hype video and all that stuff. He deserves it. He was an important part of the Grizzlies' success, especially in the regular season. You can't say he wasn't. If you say Melton wasn't important to the success of the Grizzlies last year, that tells me you didn't watch the Grizzlies. So I think that that's going to be good to see him back around those guys. You'll have a lot of feel-good moments, I would imagine. Coming up, we're going to talk about Joel Embiid and why he is ducking the Memphis Grizzlies. But first, this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds, the latest trends, all of those things there for you over at Bet Online. One of the great things about Bet Online is if you love sports podcasts, you can find those there as well. Again, from football, basketball, soccer, all sorts of sports, they've got it all at betonline.net. They are the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. Joel Embiid is terrified of the Memphis Grizzlies. I think that is what we can pull apart from looking at the numbers of Embiid. You and I were talking before we started recording to Michael, and you opened my eyes to something. There is very little, okay? And I know this is your profession. This is my hobby, if I'm being honest, and it has been for over a decade now, but still a hobby. I don't get – this isn't my main source of income like it is yours, so it's your job. Very little gets pulled over my eyes, but you have made me aware of something that I was not aware of before. I know you'll tell our listeners, viewers, whoever on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you're catching us. I know you're going to inform everybody, but Joel Embiid is apparently terrified of the Memphis Grizzlies, to Michael. If you could elaborate on that, maybe I'm embellishing a bit, but you know, the numbers don't necessarily lie, at least to a lesser version of that statement.
Oh no, and the numbers don't lie in this case. And we got a big enough sample size where what you just said sort of makes sense to say that. We're not talking one bad game, two bad games here. We're talking about a substantial you know, sample size, to say the least. But yeah, you mentioned it. When I first came back to Memphis, and yeah, I'm from Memphis, but I was working in Philly, right? So I was covering the Sixers when I was doing NBA stuff. I wasn't the main guy out there covering the Sixers, so I was doing a lot of other things as well, but I saw them, you know, play the Grizzlies from time to time, but it never crossed my mind that, you know, his stats were worse against Memphis, because that wasn't the angle that a lot of people in Philly cared about. They just cared that he was finally, you know, playing at an MVP level, Joel Embiid, that is. But in Memphis, when I first got back here, and last season, everyone saw, you know, there was a game, Joel Embiid, it kind of was a big deal that he was about to play against the Grizzlies. And he was a late stretch. It was probably, I want to say, like an hour before the game, Joel Embiid was a late scratch. And it wasn't a surprise to everyone else. And I'm like, how is this not a surprise? Like, I'm asking questions, Joe. I'm like, why is this not a surprise to anyone? This is Joel Embiid. Like, just, you know, and I'm sure they listed some type of, you know, injury or whatever it was. But that he missed that game and he returned the next game. So people were said, oh, well, he kind of dodges the Grizzlies in a way. You know, Steven Adams, Jonas Valanciunas, you know, they're very physical with him. And it's just not his preferred matchup. So I said, okay, let me go look at the numbers, right, Joe? And that's what you were just alluding to earlier. We have 6 games worth of data with Joel Embiid playing against the Grizzlies. And for one, I'll start here. Let's not bury the lead. He has never scored more than 15 points. This is Joel Embiid we're talking about.
Joel Embiid.
One of the top scorers.
If it weren't for Nikola Jokic living and existing in the same time period, would probably be a multiple-time MVP at this point. That's Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and one of the best players, like you said, in the world, Joel Embiid, Olajuwon, you know, in my eyes. But this is a guy who's averaging 31 points per game this season. If you look at his career numbers, 20 points, you know, in his first season, 22, 27 and a half, 23, 28 and a half, 30 last season, 31 this season. He has never scored more than 15 points. And you say, okay, give you some more context. No problem. Very first game against the Grizzlies in 2016, 27 minutes, 12 points. 32 minutes in the next game, 15 points. 20 minutes in the next game, 14 points. 39 minutes in the next game, 14 points. 38 minutes in the next game, 15 points. 16 minutes in the most recent game against the Grizzlies, 10 points. Oh, you need a little more context? Fine. Maybe he's just not shooting the ball? Check this out. 4 of 10, 5 of 13, 4 of 10, 4 of 15, 4 of 13, 3 of 6. The numbers aren't great, Joe. I mean, they're not great for a Clint Capella, let alone, you know, a Joel Embiid. But it was super eye-opening to me. And what's even more eye-opening, you know, you talk about, oh, he dodges the Grizzlies when they come to Memphis and things like that. I don't know if there may not be no, you know, validity to that. It may just be one of those things that a lot of Memphis people, you know, tend to say, which, you know, being from Memphis, I can say we tend to do those types of things from time to time.
No.
But
Memphians don't do that. Come on, DeMichael.
They call it the Bluff City for several reasons, but this is one of them. So look at this, Joe. He hasn't played against the Grizzlies since November 10th, 2018 in Memphis. Hasn't played against the Grizzlies overall since February 7th, 2020. You know what I was doing on November 10th, 2018? I was preparing for my final exams, my senior year of college. I know you don't like when I date you like that.
Oh God. I had been teaching for 8 years. Jeez. I'm an old man.
But what do you make of this, Joe? Because like I said, it's never been a report or anything or anyone out there saying, hey, he just doesn't like to play the Grizzlies or anything. But the numbers just suggest this isn't a favorable matchup. And you know what? I feel like this is the best version of Joel Embiid, but we have seen Steven Adams hold Rudy Gobert to one rebound.
You know, one rebound. I had to double check that stat. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, we've seen Jonas Valanciunas versus the Grizzlies, right? I mean, Jonas Valanciunas, period, versus Steven Adams. But his numbers, you know, pretty much against Steven Adams are his recent numbers, you know, against the Grizzlies, and they haven't been that good. I mean, perspective here. Two games against the Grizzlies this season. You know what Jonas Valanciunas' numbers are? 4 points, three rebounds, 2 points, three rebounds. It's the Steven Adams factor. But, you know, what do you make of this when it comes to Joel Embiid? Because this is what some people say is the best center in the NBA. Even if he's not the best center in the NBA, he's a top two center, I think, you know, pretty much league-wide.
Sure. I think that one of the interesting things about Embiid in Memphis, and obviously it's not every game, because if you're going all the way back to 2018, correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't think Valanciunas and Steven Adams, I know, wasn't on the team. I think Valanciunas was still a year away from being on the team. The Marcus Gasol trade happened in the winter of 2019.
That's the other center that he struggled against.
Right. So that's where I was getting at. So you go from Marcus Gasol to Jonas Valanciunas. Now you have Steven Adams. There are several bigs that Memphis has been able to throw at him that not every team has been able to throw at him, right? Whether it's Valanciunas and Adams and the physicality that they bring, especially Adams. You know, Adams is elite at being big, like we've talked about on here multiple times. So from that aspect to Valanciunas relishing that physicality, having a more refined offensive game, obviously, than Adams. And then Marc Gasol being the most skilled of all three of them. You know, I'm a Marc Gasol apologist, so forgive me if someone listening or watching that loves Jonas Valanciunas might agree. Marc Gasol is the most skilled of all three of those guys, and he could put Embiid in a blender, and he did on multiple occasions, literally on both ends of the floor. Defensively, he gave Embiid fits, and then offensively, Gasol had a lot of tricks in his bag to put Embiid in positions to get silly fouls or just not be in a spot to be able to rebound or defend the way he's supposed to. So it's been a rough matchup for him, and I think that maybe if the Sixers, I know we'll talk a little bit more about this here in a moment, if the Sixers were healthier, maybe Embiid would be like, oh, I have a cough. I don't know if I should play tonight. I think they're going to need him to play against Memphis on Friday. But it'll be interesting to see. And like I said, you brought attention, or you brought that to my attention before we started recording. And that's interesting. And again, there's reasons why Memphis, even going back to Gasol, all the way up to Adams and Valanciunas in between, all three of those dudes, for a variety of reasons, gave Embiid fits and continue to give Embiid fits. And I, again, I'm not trying to say that Embiid is worse than Adams, because obviously he's not. But every player has a style of play that they don't really enjoy. And I would imagine Steven Adams, the way that he does things, is unenjoyable oftentimes. Before we move on, I want to say thank you to making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Locked On Sports Today is available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. The Grizzlies are in action tonight, DeMichael, taking on those Philadelphia 76ers of Joel Embiid. You're very familiar with this organization, as you alluded to earlier in the show. And you obviously very familiar with the Grizzlies. So maybe we can call this the DeMichael Cole Bowl. Right. In terms of Philly versus Memphis, the Cole Bowl, we could maybe get that trending. Hashtag Cole Bowl. I'm curious as to your take on how the game's going to go, because Philly is banged up like Memphis is. You know, there's not really a ton of excuses for the Grizzlies in terms of if they perform as poorly as they did against Minnesota. Minnesota had injuries. Minnesota had concerns. But, you know, I'd say Philly is in a tougher spot in a lot of ways than even Memphis is, with Harden out, Maxey likely out. You know, those are two lead guards that are extremely important to their scoring. In fact, looking at their scoring, those are their second and third leading scorers on the roster right now. That's almost 45 points that they have to try to replicate in the aggregate. Shake Milton has done admirably in those guys' absence, but, you know, Shake Milton is not a sustainable success story in that way. Tobias Harris, you know, Tennessee ties, closer to your ties on the other end of the state. But, you know, Tobias Harris has a connection there that he'll have some opportunity in this game, you'd imagine. But I'm kind of curious as to your overall view of this game going into it, looking at a wounded Philly team. You know, the Grizzlies are still missing Zaire Williams and Desmond Bane, but Maxey and Harden, that's a heavier burden to carry if you're Philly coming into this one, isn't it?
Yeah. This is one of those games where the Grizzlies can't use the injury thing. It's like, oh, we didn't have Diz, we didn't have Zaire. That doesn't matter this game, because
at the very least they're on the same plane.
Yeah, and Maxey with just one of them, you know. Maxey, when he plays, you know, he and Embiid have a nice, you know, thing going, and they still look like a 4-5 seed type thing. Or Joel Embiid and Harden, they play, they can steal. But without both of those guys, what you're gonna see is the offense completely revolves around Joel Embiid, which plays into, you know, it's gonna be a lot of Steven Adams versus Joel Embiid in this game. I wonder, in this type of game, will we see more of Steven Adams? Because just from a matchup perspective, I wouldn't want Jaren Jackson Jr. isolated against Joel Embiid. I know in theory it sounds fun and it sounds good, but at the end of the day, Joel Embiid has been one of the best players in the NBA at drawing fouls over the last 3 to 4 seasons. And you want to have, you know, a guy who is a little bit more disciplined when it comes from a personal foul perspective. And that has been, you know, Steven Adams, you know, in that regard. So overall, I think that's what it comes down to. I think Steven Adams is someone who could, you know, get a minutes boost. I'm going to ask, you know, Taylor Jenkins about that before the game, because I think in this case, he could get a minutes boost, because the ball is going to be in Joel Embiid's hands almost like a point guard. He's going to touch it pretty much on every possession. You've seen guys like Shake Milton, De'Anthony Melton. He pretty much plays the same style he played in Memphis. He's going to get up a lot of spot-up three-pointers, not too many dribbles in between the shots. and he's going to play defense. Same DeAnthony Melton. You look at his numbers, he's taking close to the same amount of shots per game, close to the same amount of three-pointers per game, at around 5 3-pointers per game, just like last season. And, you know, his percentage, three-point percentage is down a little bit, but he looks very similar to that player. But the Grizzlies have a very, you know, this is a very a game that the Grizzlies very much should come out on top of, I think, Joe, particularly because you have the formula to at least, you know, not let Joel Embiid score 50 points, which is what he has to do probably at this point for this team to win. They just got blasted by the Cavaliers in their last game, 113-85. It looks like Tobias Harris is listed as questionable. That's another big one. You know, if he plays,
that would be massive if he doesn't play. Who the hell is going to score outside of Embiid?
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Shake Milton has given him a nice boost as a scorer, but someone who was there, like I said, he's a little inconsistent. He is very capable, though. He's had a great couple weeks scoring the basketball. So the ball is going to be in Joel Embiid's hands. If it's anything how we saw the Grizzlies guard Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson in that Pelicans game where CJ McCollum didn't play, they're going to force someone else to beat them. And if Taylor Jenkins does that, as I expect, the Grizzlies should win that one comfortably. But I'm not too worried about those other guys. And then when you switch it over to the Memphis side, Joe, they're going against the number one defense in this one. So it could get a little ugly.
The reason that I think that the Grizzlies need to win this game is because of everything you just outlined. Second option, Shake Milton, if Tobias Harris can't play. No offense to Shake. Him being their second best offensive option is going to end poorly for Philadelphia, or at least in theory it should. I'm looking at the schedule ahead, and I know we have daily shows coming up here to Michael. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But aside from the Sunday evening matinee against Detroit coming up here in a couple of days, the next time we're on these Locked On airwaves, we'll be talking about that contest in addition to the Philly game. The six of their next seven games are at home between now and December 16th when they leave to go to Oklahoma City. Over the next 2 weeks, most of the nights, they're going to be in their own beds going to FedEx Forum for games. And I know that you know this as somebody that's on the beat. That's extremely valuable. These homestands and stretches of time where you are at home, a vast majority of it, are extremely important. And it's even more so for the Grizzlies because you look at who they're playing on that road trip coming out of the homestand. OKC, better than expected, as we've discussed before. Then they're at Denver, at Phoenix, Christmas Day against Golden State, at Golden State. There are going to be some losses on that list, regardless of whether or not Desmond Bane is there. You're playing some of the best that the Western Conference has to offer. You could argue the three best teams in the Western Conference all in the span of 6 days. So the point I'm trying to make is you have a wounded Philly team coming in, more wounded than you are. Yes, you missed Desmond Bane. You still got Ja Morant. At worst, Morant is the second best player on the floor. And then you've got Jaren Jackson Jr., who's probably the third best player on the floor. Those two need to play like the stars that they're capable of being. You can't have the mass amounts of turnovers like Ja had against Minnesota. I know he's kind of talked about that himself, you know, in the past, making sure that he holds himself accountable. Credit to Morant in that way. You need a better Ja, and I think that he's going to be motivated coming out of the issues with the refs that you talked about in the last episode. I think that you're going to see an inspired Ja Morant. I think that you're going to see Jaren Jackson Jr. that's going to continue to assert his dominance. And because they have those two dudes and Philly has essentially their one in Joel Embiid, you know, if Tobias Harris plays, that's, you know, maybe a 1.5. The Grizzlies are in a better spot to compete, and they need to take advantage of this opportunity and the opportunities ahead in the next couple of weeks, because it's going to get a little bit tougher sledding here soon.
It's going to be some tough sledding. And I mean, you're talking about the Heat coming here, possibly getting Jimmy back. Second night of a back-to-back. Then, hey, Giannis, not only Giannis, not only Jrue Holiday, but the Bucks just got Chris Middleton back. So that's going to be a loaded team that they're going to see as well. And the Bucks kind of had the Grizzlies number, you know, last season. And then, you know, you talk about just in this game in particular, don't underestimate this team. I don't want to be that guy to say I told you so, but I remember saying, you know, with this Timberwolves squad.
You did.
Don't underestimate them, because sometimes, you know, there's a positive in subtraction. And from the Sixers' perspective, the positive could be now you don't have to worry about other guys taking shots from Joel Embiid. Now you don't have to worry about Joel Embiid taking as many possessions off because that sense of urgency is there in terms of if I don't do it, who will? So he doesn't say, oh, James, you got this possession. Or Tyrese, you got this possession. I'm going to, you know, set this little screen and rest before we get back on defense. If Joel Embiid doesn't do it, it's not going to get done, you know, more than likely. So you be careful because this is still the number one rated defense in the NBA. Hello, Matisse Thybulle, one of the best defensive players. I love watching that guy play defense, Joe. I mean, it's just so different, you know, to see a guard, forward, or however you want to list them, get all these blocks from behind on the perimeter and all these, you know, just weird chase down blocks and steals the way he plays. Fun guy to watch defensively. So going to be fun to see if they match him up against Ja Morant, or are they going to match DeAnthony Melton up against Ja Morant? Overall, just a lot of fun angles to hit with this game. But, yeah, you hit on it. Big stretch coming up. You're at home, so you got to, you know, you got to protect the home court. But this ain't a home stretch where you're just playing a bunch of scrubs. There's going to be some good teams coming to FedEx Forum.
Absolutely. And that makes a game against a wounded Philly team all the more important. But again, when you got a superstar like Joel Embiid, all bets are off. Grizzlies fans are learning that about having Ja Morant on their team. Superstars can make a world of difference even when their team is not necessarily at full strength. Thanks for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. We're at the weekend, DeMichael. It's a Friday here. Obviously, you'll be working Friday night, checking out Philly. But, you know, hopefully you have some fun weekend plans ahead of you. Next time we're together, let's break down this Philly game and the Sunday showdown with Detroit as well. How's that sound?
Sounds great. It sounds great. That Detroit game. Sounds like we're not going to get Cade Cunningham. Wanted to see that guy play. So that's a bit of a bummer. But overall, nice little young team over there in Detroit. Marvin Bagley, kind of trying to rejuvenate his career. Of course, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren for our Memphis Tiger fans out there. So a lot of fun angles in that one, too. So going to be fun to watch. But I think if we're just being honest with each other, Joe, here, next time we come back, if the Grizzlies aren't 2-0 over that stretch, it's probably going to be some unhappy faces around how that stretch played out.
As we talked about, the Western Conference is a weird, weird place right now. Got to continue to find wins where you can. And again, Philly is good. I agree with you. Philly is wounded. Detroit is a team that Memphis should beat. They should be 2-0 the next time that we're back together here on Locked On Grizzlies. Thanks for making us part of your Grizzlies experience, whether it's on YouTube, podcast, comment, rate, review, subscribe, all of those things. Continue to give us feedback, make us better here at Locked On Grizzlies, or just let us know how much you're enjoying the show, how good DeMichael looks, how I just ruined the YouTube experience. Whatever you want to discuss, by all means, let us know. I have a face made for podcasting. I know that for a fact. For DeMichael, I'm Joe. Stay locked in, Grizzlies fans. This is Locked On Grizzlies.